Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network, which launches in, my sources say, 1 week.
One week?
Could that be true?
7 days.
My gosh.
Same amount of time God needed to create everything.
That is a sign, folks, that what you might experience in 7 days might just be very good.
And on the seventh day, said, God went to thedraftnetwork.com.
It's in the Bible.
And looked up stuff. You know, it's biblical. Genesis.
It's in there.
It's chapter one. Why don't you read a book for once, guys?
Ask Adam and Eve what their first reading material was. Well, you can't really ask them, but
the draftnetwork.com.
They knew. They knew. So you've been at Bucks camp, huh?
I have. Yeah.
How's that been? 4 days in a row. 4 days into camp. Hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like hot, as in the performance on the field has been sizzling. This team's going to the Super Bowl. Hot or
no? Like hot AF.
Oh, like outside, like outdoors, like
yeah.
Hot.
All right.
Not hot.
So like last year was my first year working for Peter Report, fully credentialed, and so like I showed up to like the first Bucks camp. You know, like dressed kind of nice. You know, I think I had like slacks on or something just because I don't know, you know, trying to be professional and everything. And as time went on, I realized that they didn't care. So basically by the end of training camp, I was wearing like a polo shirt and like a bathing suit and like a bucket hat just because like it's August in Florida, man. People understand.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I feel like you guys have an exception. Like that's kind of nice in a way. Like,
yeah,
no one can really like dock you for, I mean, now, do people show up, like guys who work for the TV networks and stuff, they show up still in suits and everything? If they have to do like a spot there?
Some will show up in that, like polos and stuff, but like if you got to do a stand-up, yeah, you got to have the dress shirt on.
Dang.
And the ties on, and you know, could not be me.
Yeah. I am team informal for when it comes to things like that. Steelers camp, you know, you're lucky if the reporters even bother to put on shorts at all.
I don't need that image.
The Steelers, the Steelers go away to camp. Okay, so like all the players stay in like a dorm, like a college dorm. They go to like a Division III school, like in the area. The fields and the facilities are great, but it's still, you know, it's a Division III college facility. So like they stay there. Well, the media people stay there too. Like they have rooms, so they stay in dorms, a lot of them. So yeah, it's
packed
kind of
college.
Yeah, it gets toward the end of the week, it gets a little, or toward the end of camp, it gets a little rough. Not everybody on the sidelines is very sober, if you know what I mean.
Keg stands on the last day to celebrate.
there's some rough interview sessions, believe me.
So you did ask, you know, like hot performances on the field. I'll just say, just because this is an NFL draft podcast, MJ Stewart, the cornerback out of UNC. He's been playing really well. So, like, Vernon Hargraves got hurt. He's been out a couple of days.
Sure. Wouldn't matter, but yeah.
And Stewart, come on, man. Stewart has been playing as the number one slot guy in his place, and he's got some spunk.
So
he ain't afraid of a challenge.
So Hargraves is on the bubble.
You might as well cut him.
But for real, though, like, he's on the bubble, right? Like,
I mean, he was on the bubble, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right.
End of this year,
totally. I hadn't seen anyone say it, so I just wanted to hear it.
But I mean, he's been fine when he's been in. But MJ Stewart's good too. So I mean, you know, what are you gonna do?
All right. And what's Vita Vea got hurt, right?
He did. Vea got hurt today, which is
Can I just say that I don't think Vea is gonna be a bad player. I had a second round grade. I mean, he's gonna be a fine player and everything.
Dude, what a hot take that is. But
I just don't know if we'll ever get past the fact that the Bucks had the chance to draft Derwin James even after trading back.
Nah, we'll never get over that.
Do it.
We as a collective draft/Bucks people will never get over that.
And I say this because we're going to talk about three corners today, and Levante Taylor is one of them from Florida State. And I watched him against Syracuse, and I swear, Derwin James against Syracuse, and I know it's Syracuse, but it had to be one of the best performances. I mean, the game was unbelievable. Dude was absolutely all over the field. Like, passes defense. He, like, made a diving interception over two people's body. Like, how do you pass? What is the concern here? Like, I just don't understand. Like,
The concern was the Bucks got 22 sacks last year and got run all over.
Yeah, well, watch Vita Vea. He ain't going to help you, not with that.
Wow.
I don't know. He already got Bo Allen. He's the same player.
Okay, I like Bo. Special. Bo's a cool dude.
Yeah,
and he's good. So.
And he's going to start over Vea.
Yeah, no, he is. He is.
Exactly. So
people are losing their minds.
You know who would start
that,
over Derwin James in the Bucks? Not one soul.
Keith Tandy.
Not one soul. I do like Keith Tandy.
I mean, we all
free Keith Tandy. That's I'm
hey, there it is. That's a move I can get behind.
He 2 years ago, he got to start some games. He looked good.
Wow, dude. You've been reading my articles. Thank you.
I have. I definitely have. I've read all of them. But do you get the feeling when it's this time of year and you see you see everybody rolling out these clips like, look at so and so toasted so and so, like look at how good this guy that I had a first round grade on looks. Yeah, do you get the temptation just to absolutely destroy them on Twitter?
The people or
just the general
are you
sentiment
saying the people who send those tweets?
Some of them are great people. They're just, everybody gets caught up in the hype. They're so excited for football to come back. Their mental faculties,
man.
They leave it in the
room.
I know,
part
dude.
Of the business.
I know. I'm just, you know me. I'm a logical, I'm a mental processing. I'm very logical. Like,
I know. Yeah,
I take emotion
boring.
Out.
We get it. You're boring.
That's well said.
You're sticking
the
mud.
It's well said.
Your aunt's at a picnic.
Okay, that's a little harsh. Let's not go there. Aunt's at a picnic. But seriously, don't you ever get the feeling like you're like, okay, like these people need a little wake up call? Or no, you're like all about let the people hype who they hype.
Nah, baby, let them overhype people. I'm gonna draft in fantasy.
There you go. Actually, that is a good way to look at it. Okay, we got three corners to talk about today. Who do you want to start with? Who impressed you the least? Let's start with him.
Who what?
Whichever one impressed you the least. Let's start with that corner.
This is a tough question because, I mean, it's not Greedy Williams. I think Greedy Williams I like the best. But between Taylor and Baker, Levante Taylor and DeAndre Baker, those are the two other guys that we watched, they both have like areas of the game that definitely – I guess makes them incomplete right now. We'll start with Baker. You want to start with Baker? We can start with
him. Yeah, let's start with Baker. Okay. I wanted to hear you say that he was the worst of the three, but I see you're like, not ready to put your money where your mouth is.
I think
talk about
Baker,
me being boring. You sound like wishy-washy here.
Because I think that Baker is decent, but like I think he's pretty much at his ceiling is the thing. So like the things that he does well is he's obviously a physical guy. He likes to get in your face. He likes to be aggressive. He can play you press. He can bump you well down the field. I think he even plays angles well when he anticipates which routes are coming at him. I think he does that well. But as you pointed out a couple of times over the last week in Twitter, he just doesn't – he's not fast. He just doesn't have that recovery speed, that straight line speed, the short area speed, the burst and the quickness. His hips are slow sometimes, and it's just like – That's why when you say like who impressed me the least, there are parts of Baker's game that I like because I think he's savvy a little bit in how he uses his physicality and his aggression. But I don't know. I don't really think this guy can be an outside corner in the NFL. Now that's not necessarily the worst thing because I do think that he does some things well due to his experience. And I think with the style in which he plays, but. Man, you see him just get cooked sometimes on some of these routes. Mm-hmm. He just either can't recover or just can't keep up with the guy unless he's fully bumping him yards off of the route. And so that's kind of what I saw from him. I don't hate him, but I think he's pretty close to his ceiling.
Yeah, he's just an average overall athlete, and I don't really know that any area like makes up for that. Like he doesn't have great click and close in front of him and like zone or off coverage. He can't really run. Like, if he doesn't get his hands on you in press, like, at the line of scrimmage, and then again, usually, you know, 5-10 yards into the route, you're going to run by him. Like, if you're running.
But he does that a decent amount.
He does, yeah. Yeah, he does get his hands on guys, and he's pretty good. You know, he can be over-aggressive, too, though. I don't know how. I'm curious to see how it would get called in the NFL, you know, with the contact down the field at times with Baker. But, I like that he's physical, and I think he does it in a pretty subtle way. So I think that he's got a shot because of that. But, yeah, he basically has to win with his hands at the line of scrimmage and downfield in the route to keep from getting stacked and then beat down the field. Like, that's mm-hmm. he can't run. Like, he's just not going to run well. I mean, I tweeted out the other day, I watched a couple games, I'm going to stand by it. I think he runs in the 4.6s. I think he touches 4.6.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair. Okay. I mean, he's going to do the same stuff that happened with Tease Tabor from Florida. Yeah. You know, it's going to be kind of the same thing. You're going to see at times some nice cornerback play, but then at times you're also going to see him get cooked. And that ended up being Tease Tabor's thing. He ended up being a second round pick.
So where does he work? Because I don't know that I see Baker in the slot and a ton of man coverage against, you know, the Julian Edelmans. And
he's going to play slot for a team.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably going to play in the nickel, but I think he needs to be scheme protected similar. And my comparison for him has been Desmond King. I think that he needs to be scheme protected, kind of like Desmond King is, where like Desmond King looked good this past year. And because he's good at a certain amount of things, you know, he's good instincts in zone coverage. You know, he understands how to process routes and, you know, he's good against the run, and that always helps as a nickel, you know, communication, things like that. But, you know, they don't ask Desmond King to man up against the top slot receivers in the league either and track them all over the field. So,
but if you don't man him up in the slot, then how much can he do with his hands?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's going to have to be some type of scheme protected role where he's either in zone or underneath or hooking coverage or something like.
But I then, don't know. Then the question comes up, how much do you scheme depend in a nickel guy?
Yeah, right.
You know,
Baker's, it would depend on your overall scheme, probably, if he fits it. And I think he's only going to fit for certain teams.
I think I'm a little bit higher on Baker than you are, but I think that we still see the same.
You think he's a top 100 player?
No, top 10, might as well say it, you know?
No, top 10. No, I said top 100.
I thought that's where you were going with
that. No, I said top
100. I don't know. I haven't watched 100 dudes. What am I going to say?
Well, generally speaking, when I say top 100, I don't mean he'll go
point,
in the top 100.
At this point, DJ Brunson's a top 100 player for me.
You really hated DJ Brunson.
He just wasn't good, so.
You text me. You go, he has negative instincts.
I'm sorry.
I died. It was funny. I think in a vacuum, like, if, you know, I'm not considering everybody else, I think that Baker's probably in that third to fourth round range, so he'd be fighting for contention to be a top 100 player this season. I think I'd put him in there still. I do like some things that he does. I don't see him being a very valuable piece in the NFL, and it's hard. Like, I don't know that I have a lot of room for slot corners without great ceilings that can't really run.
It's not alluring to spend a coveted draft pick on a guy who you're already making excuses for.
And he's not as good as Dez King was against the run. Dez King was legit one of the better corners against the run I've ever seen. And Baker's good, but, you know, King was like an impact, forceful player in that role. Like, you could legitimately play him off the edge and the dude would shut things down. Like, he was that good in the run game.
So let's move on. All right, let's talk Taylor. Let's talk about Taylor. What did you see from him?
Okay, did you ever see Levante Taylor's high school testing numbers when he came out?
Yeah, they're stupid.
Yeah, they're good because you did. Yeah, they're stupid. Because you're from down there, yeah. But this cat, I mean, like, I guess I expected to see, like, a little more of an elite athlete on tape. I know that probably sounds crazy because he is a good athlete, but, I mean, he reportedly, and this was a 5'11", 183, he's not listed. What's he listed? He's not listed much bigger than that now. What is he?
I'm sorry. 5'10", 181. What did they say he weighs?
5'11", 183 was what they had him at out of high school. Yeah. Now he's listed 5'10", 181.
No. Levante Taylor is 5'9", 173.
173.
There's no way he's over 180.
I thought he was decently filled out, but I think he's 180. But I mean, heck, 180 is still super light. So either way, he's small, and that's a problem because he got mossed. Calvin Harmon went up over him and just straight up ripped the ball off the top of his head. Like,
right. I was watching a couple of highlight plays from him. I think it was against Miami, and they counted this, like, this is in a Levante Taylor highlight reel of the ball, like, going to high point, and the wide receiver, who is clearly, like, 6'3", 6'4", fully extends to go up and get the ball. Taylor puts his arm up, and his arm is, like, a full nother arm away from getting to the ball, and yet he makes contact with the guy's elbow, so the ball comes out, so it looks like a pass breakup. But, like, I kind of just, like, rewound that a couple times. I'm like, God damn, you put this in a highlight reel?
Yeah.
Dang. Okay, well.
Yeah. That's so, why, like, I say you can learn stuff from highlight reels, man. If this is the best.
I watch it all, man. Yeah. I try to watch it all. I watch game film. I watch highlight reels. I watch interviews from players. I try to watch it all. Why not?
But he tested in high school. It said 4.3, 4.40.
I don't know
if he's 4.3 fast, though, dude. Like, did he look that fast to you?
I think Taylor's probably like 4.4 fast, yeah.
Okay. I can get behind that. I didn't think he was slow per se, but like, and again,
his 20-yard
shuttle was 4.03. That's amazing. Like, he was one of the best ones there. He had the best 40 time in that group. His vertical jump, 42-plus inches. I mean, I don't know if I saw that, like, explosion from him. Like, I didn't see him, like, pop like that on tape. I thought he was a great athlete. And athleticism is not a concern. I just thought it was going to be, like, when Jair Alexander moved, it was just, like, the most fluid, explosive type of thing. And even though Alexander made mistakes, I was just like, this guy can recover. This guy is going to make plays for you because he's just so explosive to close and just kind of instinctive. And, you know, I think Taylor was good. Like, his press is pretty good. He's patient. You know, his hips are good. Like, I don't have any knocks on Taylor per se. Like, I don't think he was, I mean, I have knocks on him. I don't think he was bad technically. I don't think his athleticism was bad. I didn't think he was great. And I think, like, he's going to lose some 1v1 matchups vertically stemming down the field because he's going to get pushed and bodied off of the route a little bit. And that happened a couple times on tape. He fell behind a step or two because of that.
Yeah. No, Taylor's going to get a lot of hype just because he was a super highly regarded recruit because of how athletic he was. And this is just happens with really young guys who become draft eligible, who have playing time that now we talk about. I believe it was his redshirt freshman year last year, you know? So this dude is still really young. What impressed me the most about Taylor.
No. True sophomore year.
Okay. Sorry. So what impressed me the most about Taylor, I thought his feet were lightning quick. I thought, like, in a backpedal, when he was putting his foot in the ground to kind of change direction and maybe move one way or the other, I thought his feet movements were so quick that you could kind of depend on this guy to be able to mirror opponents, be able to backpedal for a decent amount of time and stick him with a wide receiver to keep his eyes on the quarterback or keep his eyes in front of him without having to turn around. I thought his feet were phenomenal, but no question, I watched him and I looked up his measurements beforehand, and I'm like, this dude is not as big as they say he is, because this is a problem. Like, there is a hit that he lays against, I think, Amara Darbo of Michigan. And, like, Darbo is decently sized, but he's not, like, huge. Yeah. Taylor literally put everything he had into just running into Darbo's thigh to get him to get off balance to, like, go to the ground. And it was kind of like almost like Taylor's version of a big hit. And, like, man, you could be all the athlete that you want, but you're just going to get big boy in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And like you were saying, it doesn't even look like he is small. It looks like he's kind of filling out his frame nice. And that actually worries me, because I need this dude to get way stronger than he is, because we know he's not getting taller.
Right.
And so if you're going to be 5'9", 5'10", you got to be strong and you got to be quick at everything. And so the entire rest of your game has to be near elite if you're that small. And that's just the way that it is. And Taylor's got another year, so we get to see him do that. And maybe he'll have put on some weight and we get to see that as well. And I think he'll get a full plate this year at FSU as an outside corner as well. But I just don't think
he's got a slaughter testing. I mean, there's a lot of hype
for him, and I like Taylor. I do, but we got to be realistic with how big this guy is.
And here's the other thing. He didn't make many plays on the ball last year. And I thought the tape I watched kind of confirmed that. He had three passes defense and two picks in the, what game was it? Oh, yeah. It was against
It was against Florida. He had two picks.
I just wanted to hear you say it.
Okay, thanks.
One of them was an
awful tipped ball that was complete luck, and then the other one, Felipe Franks just stared down the receiver the whole time, and Taylor moved literally 2 feet over and caught it and ran it in the end zone. So there you go. Quarterback play at the University of Florida, folks.
I mean, Franks stared that down for like a full 10 seconds, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Taylor made a nice play because he took initiative. And this is something I watched him do in other games against Syracuse. He was the outside corner. If both receivers sat down in shorter routes, and the receiver and the quarterback looked inside to outside like they usually do, he would try and creep up and steal one from that inside receiver, even though it wasn't his guy, which I like. I was like, okay, yeah, I like this. He's taking some initiative. But it just didn't really work because like he couldn't get there in time, right? Well, unless the quarterback was Felipe Franks. My God. He stared it down for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a nice play, but it was still like, what? Oh, my.
That's my thoughts
on Taylor. Yeah, they're great ball skills there. I don't know. And that's going to be another thing because teams will overlook some things if you take the football away and make splash plays.
Yeah, no question about that.
I don't know if that's him. Okay, Greedy Williams.
He's good.
He's very good. He's very talented. Here's what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah,
athleticism, he's very good. Size, and length all appear to be top-notch. Mirror and match skills to play in man coverage, obviously the most coveted trait for a corner. Does a great job working through and around a receiver to contest the catch point. The speed to carry vertical threats, real easy speed with him. Attempts to look back and play the ball, his frame and his physicality is there to play press. He's quick with his hands. He's fluid in all directions. I mean, he's click and close from off coverage is excellent. If you watched some of his picks last year, they were mostly from off coverage, reading things, you know, exploding to the ball. He's definitely the most talented corner in terms of a package. But I have some concerns as well. Go ahead. I know you have things you want to say about him that you liked. I do have some concerns to get back to.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, from a guy who was in his redshirt freshman season last year, to see the savviness, I guess I'll call it, with the way that he played press and could mirror guys down the field, and then like it's like he knew exactly when to put his hand in there to not be offensive pass interference, yet get the guy off his route a little bit, disrupt him before he got the ball, before he could get his own hand up there. I thought he had great timing for the ball when it was coming in, especially with so little experience before last season. Obviously, you like the length. You think he's athletic enough. He could play the position. But that, to me, the fact that he was that polished in like the instincts area of playing a corner, you know, with your back to the ball and everything. He looked that polished as a redshirt freshman. I was super impressed there. And that's really what kind of put me over the top with him, with the other athletic traits that he has too. So, all right, go ahead and rain on everybody's parade.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
So this is what I do, right? Ahead. This is who I am, right? You said I'm boring. I'm here to kill hype and things like that. Greedy Williams has potential to be a top 15 pick or whatever, but to put him in the same category as Lattimore, Ramsey, and some of those other guys who were locked top five types.
Oh,
yeah, that's too. That's too. Oh,
nobody's
people,
doing
oh,
that.
What? People are doing that, dude.
Who's doing that?
People are doing that. I'm not.
Well, they shouldn't be.
Dropping names on the pod here, man. Like, I'm not trying.
No, don't. No, all right.
Get me in trouble. 6'1", 182. The length is there. The size is there that you want. And I think he's probably already heavier than that 182. As a redshirt freshman, that's not a big deal to me. He's got the frame to put on weight. And
yeah, you can't tell me that Greedy Williams and Levante Taylor weigh the same.
Right. Yeah, you ain't telling me that for sure. Here's my concerns with him. He falls asleep at the top of routes way too often. Like, he allows comeback routes to happen. He allows scramble drill routes to happen. He doesn't work back and find the ball and stay in phase at all times, whether it's down the field. He'll just get sloppy with his positioning, and he will lose track of the ball. He gave up receptions that he absolutely shouldn't have given up. And I'm thinking especially the Ole Miss game, but it also happened, I think, against Auburn once or twice too, where he just kind of fell asleep in man coverage, acted like the play was over, got really lethargic with his body language, a couple times got bodied off the ball and lost his receiver as a result. Like, lost a couple steps, gave up separation, allowed a catch, allowed a conversion that never should have happened just because he didn't finish the rep. Now, I'm not getting here to rah-rah coach speak and say, you got to finish your reps and all that crap. He was a redshirt freshman. Like, I get it. Like, sometimes those things happen. Like, but that's got to be better this year, no question. His technique and press coverage got to be a lot better. It's just got to be a lot better. He gets beaten off the line of scrimmage a lot. His ability to recover is special. Like, he recovered a couple times from bad steps of the line of scrimmage, but he's not very patient in press. He will hop immediately to one side and try and get the receiver there, but doesn't use his hands that well yet. And his hips open way too early, and then he has to recover and flip him back the other way. Again, the fluidity recover, really impressive to me, but that was a concern. The other part to me, he's just not a really eager or physical tackler. Whether it's defending the run or just kind of receivers in space, he misses some tackles, drops his eyes a little bit. He just kind of, he doesn't really give great effort anywhere except when throws are directly at him on time. So again, you're a redshirt freshman. Maybe there's some things that get lost in translation there, but to me, I think he's got to do those aspects of the game better. He's got to finish reps in coverage. He's got to improve his press technique. He's got to get more effort, more intensity versus the run, or just in general as a tackler. I think, you know, and being physical in that way. He seems to be physical with his hands as a in coverage, but I think those are my big concerns with him. You That's see fair. Any of those things? You think? Those
yeah,
are
no,
fair?
No. I think all those things are fair. You could tell he. Like, I would have said that at times he looks, like, sluggish. So I guess mm-hmm. that kind of goes yeah. into some of the criticism that he had. Like,
and he's not a sluggish athlete. Like, he's clearly
right,
an
like
elite
his,
athlete.
Like, his back's bent over or he's, mm-hmm. like, looking somewhere else. And, like, that definitely shows up. So, you know, I don't want to be too hard on that because he's got a full year left. And last year he was just a redshirt freshman. So I think you do kind of take that with a grain
sure,
of salt. But
absolutely.
It's also worth
absolutely.
Putting on the notepad now.
Right. Because he's going to declare.
Right.
So we got to have the answers to those questions this year. I mean, you're assuming he's going to declare.
John Ledyard needs answers.
I need him, man. Okay. Tomorrow on the pod, Julian Love from Notre Dame, LaVert Hill from Michigan, in some corner for Penn State that you're going to tell us his name, aren't you?
Penn State.
You said you would announce his name because you knew I couldn't say it.
I don't know what we're doing, so I don't know his name.
His name is, you're going to make me say this. Amani. Amani's his first name. I've got that part right.
Okay. You can't even do it. Oh. You coward.
Oh.
Oh. Just say it. Oh. You got to just visualize it.
Over worry. I don't know, man. Listen, in fairness, Cal has the Big Ten and he hasn't even tried to say his name yet because Cal knows he can't say it.
Look up a play-by-play announcer saying his name.
Listen, that is just too easy. We got to figure this out on our own.
We're about breaking out the
here. I can't. I don't know, man.
Good phonetic books.
O-R-U-O-R-U-W-A-R-I-Y-E. Yikes. Anyway, Cal says he's good, and he said LaVert Hill was good, and I saw a little bit of Julian Love, and I like him. So,
do we get to talk Derek Beatty at all tomorrow?
Let's add him in. You want to see him? You want to watch
sure,
him?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Add him in. I've watched him and written him up for the Draft Network.
Little hint. So. He doesn't screw around,
dude. You see that clip?
Yes, I saw that clip.
Go to my Twitter, guys, if you haven't seen these.
Head over to twitter.com/. I don't even know what you're doing.
This dude had two of the
something
hits of the
Ledyard NFL draft, I think.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Real cool.
I got it right, did I not?
You did, yeah. But you could right. tell that you weren't prepared. Well, I mean, I read your articles and you don't even know my Twitter handle, so it just doesn't seem really fair to me.
Ratio seems good to me.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Got those three tomorrow and then Taylor Rapp and Jaquan Johnson and who else? One other guy. Tyree Kittle.
Oh, yeah. Michigan. I'm excited for safety yeah. day. I'm okay. excited for
yeah.
safety day.
Because you're hyping the safety. I said one thing about the safety class not looking that great early on. And there you go. You're hyping them. Now you think five guys are going in the first round. So we'll
five
see who's right on Wednesday.
Five.
We'll see who's right on Wednesday. Till then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.